You would open your Bibles to the 14th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14, we'll read from there in a couple of minutes. The NFL gives out an award every year. It's called the Comeback Player of the Year. In 2018, there was a quarterback for the Washington. At that time, it was the Redskins. Now it's not. He was a good quarterback. He's very solid, very dependable. Played for the Kansas City Chiefs, San Francisco 49ers, had been a season starter at that point. In 2018, while he was playing the Houston Texans, he was tackled awkwardly, ended up with a compound spiral fracture in his lower leg from his ankle to his knee, was basically destroyed bone-wise. Beyond the fracture, so he's in Houston, Texas, one of the largest medical centers, one of the best medical centers, so I wonder how some of this happened. He ends up having surgery, gets all the work done, then he ends up with some sort of bacteria infection that's eating muscle. It just gets real bad. So one of the serious options for him at that point was amputating his leg. This is a professional athlete. He played Division I football, very well known, very high draft pick, had made millions and millions of dollars, and he's on the brink of losing one of his legs. In 2020, he came back to the NFL against most of the odds that were given to him, and played for the Washington football team and was successful. He did not get injured, and he won the Comeback Player of the Year for that year. This morning, I want to talk about a good man, his fall, and his return to righteousness. We'll study his downward steps and his fall, and we'll look at the ways that he worked his way back to faithfulness and following Christ. The man is Simon Peter. Within his life, there are practical lessons that all Christians can learn and follow to improve our walk with God. To begin, we'll start with his fall. Peter doubted, and we'll read Matthew 14, verses 25 through 31. Matthew 14, verses 25 through 31. Now, on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered them and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And Peter had come out of the boat, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" We see Peter's faith weaken. Even though Jesus is within sight, and in reality, Jesus is within reach, because pretty quick as he starts to sink, Jesus caught him. Peter's lack of faith, Peter's doubting, caused him to begin to sink. We likewise can sink in the sea of life if we do not remain strong in our faith to the Lord. Hebrews 3 and 12 reads, "Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you in an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God." A lengthier reading, when Jesus is talking to his disciples in John 14, verses 1 through 5, the 14th chapter of John, verses 1 through 5, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I am in my Father's house. There are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus' answer to Thomas is a never-ending truth for Thomas, and is a never-ending truth for all of us. In the 16th, or in the 6th verse of chapter 14, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is only one way, and Jesus is that only way to eternal life, and we can never doubt it. Our faith supports us in John, in 1 John 5, 3 and 4. 1 John 5, verses 3 and 4. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith in Christ is what overcomes the sin that tries to drag us down in this daily life that we live. Another way that Peter fell was Peter boasted. He said that he would never deny the Lord. He boasted of his loyalty, and he even boasted that he was willing to die with Jesus on the night that he was to be taken. We'll read out of Mark 14, the 14th chapter of Mark, and we'll read verses 27 through 31. Mark 14, 27 through 31. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, I will not be. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But Jesus spoke, he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. How many times in our life have we ever said, I will never, or I will not, or maybe you said, I'm going to do this no matter what? God's word warns Christians against that type of boasting, those type of claims. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 tells us, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. And then the famous proverb, in Proverbs 16 and 18, that tells us pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. God gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to the humble. We read in 1 Peter 5 and 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Peter slept while he should have been keeping watch for the Lord. In Mark 14, 32 through 42, we won't read it, a little bit lengthy of reading. Mark 14, 32 through 42, we see Peter falling asleep three times while the Lord is out praying, while he's struggling with what he's about to have to go through. This was a physical sleep that had overtaken Peter. However, today, there are many who are spiritually asleep. God calls us to be awake. In Ephesians 5 and 14, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. 1 Corinthians 15:34, Paul writes, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. The spiritual sleeper is helpless. They are not able to help in the local church. There's no reason to ask, will you teach Bible class? Will you lead a prayer? Will you lead singing? Will you help us in some way? The person who is spiritually asleep is not a tool in the kingdom of God. Being spiritually asleep will lead us to a downfall. We talked a little bit about Peter drawing his sword. That's the next way that Peter started his fall, or was falling. Peter drew his sword. You read in Mark 14, he was looking to defend Christ. Mark 14, 46 and 47 reads, "Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear." This was a rash decision by Peter. He was trying to defend his Lord with the sword here on this earth. In some eyes, thinking maybe defending an earthly king. They could have been part of the thought process. The only sword that will and can defend Christ is the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews 4 and 12 tells us, For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and to the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Peter also followed afar off after they arrested Jesus. Luke 22:54, "Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance." So the man who was claiming that he was going to die with and defend to the death and never deny, he's following at a distance once they arrest Jesus. One thing that we need to take note from this is that if we're following Jesus at a distance, we are eventually going to lose sight of him. Jesus tells us in Matthew 10, verses 38 and 39, Matthew 10, 38 and 39, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." During this same evening, after he's following at a distance, distancing himself from Christ, Peter sat with unbelievers. He associated himself with unbelievers. Luke 22:55, "Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them." And sitting near the warmth of the fire with these people, these peers that he is around are now going to, with peer pressure, allow Peter to back himself farther away from Jesus. You read, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived, but evil company corrupts good morals." Ultimately, the company that Peter keeps is going to lead him to deny Christ and even curse and swear. If you would turn to Matthew 26, Matthew 26, we're going to read five verses. We'll read verses 69 through 74. Matthew 26, 69 through 74. "Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, 'You were also with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you are saying.' And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow also is with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.' And immediately the rooster crowed." Peter had reached a state of being that Christ had warned him about. A warning that each of us need to heed and follow all the days of our life. In Matthew 26 and 41, Jesus tells Peter, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So let's talk about Peter's return to a faithful walk with God. In Luke 22:61, after Jesus had risen, we see that a look from Jesus penetrated Peter. Luke 22:61, and the Lord turned to Peter. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he has said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." The thought that Jesus can see all of us, our good deeds and our bad deeds, should have a sobering effect on our daily life. Hebrews 4:13 tells us, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who we must give an account." Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on evil and good." During this time after Jesus had risen from the grave, Matthew 26:75, you see Peter remembering the words and his reaction. Matthew 26:75, Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. Remembering Christ's words will lift us up. If we're studying our Bible on a daily basis, we'll be able to recall them in an easier fashion. But we will be able to lift us up, but forgetting them will pull us down. Revelation 2:5 tells us, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." Peter became possessed with godly sorrow. As we just read in Matthew 26:75, he remembered the words of Jesus and he went out and wept bitterly. This is not worldly sorrow. This is not, "Hey, I'm sorry." This is what is producing a life-changing mourning. It was sorrow that when he realized what he had done to Jesus, and he repented. We know that Peter repented because that's how godly sorrow works, as recorded in 2 Corinthians 7:10. 2 Corinthians 7:10, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." Peter's life indicated that he had repented. Peter was faithful. No, he wasn't sinless. You know, Paul later rebuked him in Galatians 2 for actions that he had taken and not taken. But we know that he continued the race of faith and righteousness until his death, and we are to do the same. Revelation 2:10, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Peter died for Christ. Jesus prophesied Peter would have a martyr's death in John 21. This occurred after Jesus asked Peter if he loved him three different times. John 21, verses 18 and 19, Jesus talking to Peter, "Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." Then he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." According to secular history, Peter died for his faith in God. He was no longer afraid. He fearlessly and heroically preached Christ until his death. How about you? Can the same be said for you and I? Are we fearless for Christ? Have we overcome our sins and issues and obstacles in our life so that we are able to follow Christ? Does our life show that we would die for Jesus? Just as Peter fell, so can we. Life has highs and lows. Some days, some weeks, some months, you'll be riding high. Spiritual high, everything will be great. And then something may happen in your life where you are at a low for a time. Remember, Peter repented for his sins, and so can we. Revelation 3, 19 through 22. Revelation 3, 19 through 22. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We can return to the Lord, and we can place him back in his rightful spot as first in our life. The one thing about Peter, all the negative things that are said, he was a man of action. Not always the correct action, but he drew his sword to defend the Lord. He was the only one that bailed out of the boat and tried to walk on the water. Action is now required. If you've not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, now is the time. Acts 22 and 16 reads, Now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you're a struggling child of God, if you have sin in your life and you need prayers for strength and forgiveness, now is the time. Please come as we stand and sing.